Welcome to Commons and Chronicles, the podcast where we talk about all the best Creative Commons and reusable open game license content. If you need resources for your creative writing, game design, or you just love lore, Commons and Chronicles is for you. Hi everyone, this is another Conan the Barbarian episode. Today's episode we're going to talk about Nemedia, which is a kingdom you hear a lot about, I feel, but it's something that you don't actually visit, I don't think, ever? Or maybe there is one where you actually go there, but I don't remember Conan himself ever going to Nemedia. I could be remembering that incorrectly, but it is something that I remember when reading the books for the first time. I remember the name Nemedia being in my head a lot, so much so that I thought that maybe that was the primary kingdom or whatever of that world. And later on, you kind of discover that it's just another kingdom. And maybe that's just happens to be the order of the books that I read, you know, the order in which I read the books. I'm not sure. So Nemedia, by my reckoning, and again, as I've said in previous episodes, there's not really a map of this world. I mean, I'm sure there is somewhere, but I didn't want to go off someone else's map. So Robert E. Howard himself never sketched out a map that I'm aware of. So I'm trying to reconstruct a map from descriptions in the books, which can be difficult because they usually give different landmarks depending on what kingdom they're in, and I guess what they care about. So Nemedia, by my reckoning, is, well, it's certainly west of Aquilonia, and it is east of a place called Brynthunia. We don't know a whole lot about Brynthunia. We hear it mentioned here and there. Specifically, it is called the Land of Blonde-Haired Women. But other than that, we don't really know a whole lot about it. But we do know that it is west of Nemedia. Nemedia is east of Brynthunia. In other words, Nemedia is south of the Bossonian Marches, maybe a little bit southwest of Aquilonia, a little bit southwest of Brynthunia, and more or less north, or maybe northwest, of the Poitanian mountain ranges. And I'm saying that because it is stated from the Numidian perspective that to the south is Poitain. So we know that it's got to be at least somewhat above the Poitanian mountains. To the north is Gunderman, which, if you'll recall from a couple of episodes ago, we also know that Aquilonia itself and probably the Bossonian Marches are just south of Gunderman. So the only way I see this fitting together is if Nemedia is saying, well, to the north is Gunderman, meaning that's to the north. I mean, a lot of things can be to the north, in other words, because it was also stated that to the north are the Bossonians. So Nemedia must be at least below the Bossonian Marches. Also to the north is a river called Shirky in a region called Galparan, and the people of Gunderman must cross this river in order to strike at the towns held by Nemedians. Now, that to me says that quite possibly Nemedia kind of stretches up over, you know, parts of Nemedia maybe stretch up over the Bossonian Marches, or maybe it sneaks its way between parts of Aquilonia. Not really sure. It's a little bit confusing. But since the Bossonian Marches are known to be basically frontiers land, you'll recall that Aquilonia and one of its most important forts is kind of like the border stronghold between civilization of the Aquilonians and the wilderness of the Bossonian Marches. So since it's known to be sort of a wild frontiers, no man's land, I figure it's not beyond possibility that the Bossonian Marches have been partly inhabited or colonized by Nemedia, by Nemedians, and therefore the Gundermans must cross the Shirky River in order to raid Nemedian townships or maybe forts that fall within the Bossonian Marches. So it all kind of fits together. It's just you have to kind of make up some stories in order to rationalize some of the offhand directions and landmarks that are provided in the different books. The one city that we know about in Nemedia that I can think of, well, we actually know of probably two. So the one that we know, I guess, most about, which isn't a whole lot, is Belverus, Belverus. And we know that that is the capital city of Nemedia. It is where the king of Nemedia keeps his court. And there may be a second city called Tor, T-O-R. Now, I don't know for sure that that's a city. It could be a region within Nemedia. Not really sure. But we do know that there's a guy named Amalric, who is the baron of Tor in Nemedia. So whatever Tor is, it's in Nemedia. There's a baron. That's what we know. There are a couple of people that we can extrapolate from Nemedia. We know that there are a few different people, famous Nemedians in the original Conan books. There's King Numa, N-U-M-A. He is the king of Nemedia. He keeps dancing girls, famous white wines, and he rules over Nemedia in Belverus. Now, there's another king that we hear about in another book called King Nimed, N-I-M-E-D. And he is also identified as the king of Nemedia. And in fact, Conan visits him. Oh yeah, so Conan has been to Nemedia. So Conan visits him while in Belverus, the capital city. So once again, the Conan books are not written in a chronological order. So the fact that we get two different names for kings of Nemedia, not all that surprising. Presumably Numa either preceded or followed Nimed, and Nimed either preceded or followed Numa. It's not that big of a deal. And I'm sure someone out there on the internet has put all the Conan books, well, I know they've put all the Conan books in what people agree is the proper chronological order. And as I understand it, that chronological order is kind of how the expanded universe structures itself as to where it fits in from the canonical timeline. And as I've said before, I'm not interested in the expanded universe personally, and certainly this series isn't talking or taking into account anything about the expanded universe. I'm just looking at the Robert E. Howard stuff. There's also Octavia. She was the daughter of a Numidian noble. She becomes the captive of Jahungir Aga, and this is used as bait to lure Conan to the island of Zapur. The island of Zapur is, as far as I know, completely unrelated to Nemedia, and I get the feeling that it's in a pretty radically different location. Well, not radically different, but I don't think it's near Nemedia necessarily. I believe that Octavia happens to have been a Nemedian who got captured and is used as bait to lure Conan to Zapur. And I could be wrong. I mean, Zapur might be a principality of Nemedia for all I know, but I'm pretty sure it's not because it's uninhabited. It's out in the ocean somewhere, as islands often are, and there's no indication that there's any relationship to Nemedia. Alcimedes is a philosopher in Nemedia. There's, of course, Amalric, the Baron of Tor, who I mentioned earlier. Taraskus is the younger brother of the King of Nemedia, which, because of the book that name appears in, I'm assuming they mean he's the brother to King Nimed, not King Numa. Aside from Octavia, the captive from Nemedia, I think the most famous, I'll call it, the most famous Nemedian that you'll meet in the Conan books, the one that you'll remember especially, I think, is Taras of Nemedia. And I kind of alluded to this character in, I think, the Koth episode, because there was another Taras. But Taras of Nemedia is an expert thief and rogue who breaks into the Tower of the Elephant in the book by the same name, and arguably taught Conan most of his rogue skills. So Conan, as I've said, I think in the first episode of this mini-series, Conan is known as a barbarian. He's called Conan the Barbarian. And yet, I feel in the modern, in modern gaming, we tend to think of the term barbarian to mean big, hefty, bruiser, tank-type character who rushes in, goes into a rage, and slaughters everyone until he or she is just completely worn out. And I think that reputation, that cliche, maybe comes from the expanded universe. I'm not really sure. Maybe from the movies. I'm not sure. But it certainly is reinforced in the playable classes in Dungeons & Dragons, Pathfinder, and others. But the barbarian for Conan, he's called a barbarian simply because he is from the north. And he's not considered a civilized person. And were you to construct a Conan character for an RPG, you'd really be hard-pressed to use the the barbarian class. It really doesn't fit. He's much more a rogue. And in the Tower of the Elephant book, he's not that great a rogue. I mean, he's not bad, but when he meets Taris of Nemedia, it's pretty clear that Taris is the more experienced thief than Conan, and Taris teaches him quite a lot on how to prowl around and how to get around death traps and so on. So Taris of Nemedia has a couple of different tricks up his sleeve. One of them is a black lotus, which is not from Nemedia. But the other, and this falls, I guess, within the category of important artifacts or magical items, is the Rope of the Dead. It's an almost unnaturally strong rope woven from the tresses of dead women. And Taris of Nemedia harvested this hair at midnight, steeped it in the deadly wine of the Upas tree, U-P-A-S tree, to give it strength. So it is an unnaturally strong rope. I really like the idea of creating a rope in such a magical process, though. It's a little bit necromantic, maybe, harvesting hair from dead people, weaving it into a rope, and then dipping it into the deadly wine of the Upas tree. But, I mean, if it works, it works. I could see other ropes being created and used in a similar fashion. I know that in the back of the Pathfinder Core rulebook, page 528, chapter 15, Magic Items, you get things like the Rope of Climbing, which is the 60-foot-long rope of climbing, no thicker than a wand, but strong enough to support 3,000 pounds, and upon commands, the rope snakes forward, upward, downward, or in any direction at 10 feet per round, attaching itself securely wherever its owner desires. And there's also a command word that you can speak to force it to knot itself in 1-foot intervals, so you even have, like, footholds. And there's also the Rope of Entanglement, which is just like any other rope, but upon command, the rope lashes forward 20 feet or upward 10 feet to entangle a victim. An entangled creature can break the entanglement with a DC 20 strength check or a DC 20 escape artist check. So that's pretty useful as well. And then there are other, obviously, magical traits you could put on a rope, which might be fun. But as far as the text goes, the Conan text, it is just an unnaturally strong rope. But I always find that sort of thing intriguing because it just suggests so much from the core rulebook or the player's handbook, whatever you're playing. Makes the imagination start running all over the place. And I don't know what an Upas tree is, U-P-A-S tree. I don't know what that is. It's not mentioned aside from in that one sentence. But I imagine that if you can make a deadly wine from it, it must be something pretty special. So that's something to explore as well. Like I said, for as many times as I remember hearing the word Nemedia or a reference to Nemedian this or Nemedian that, I gotta admit, that's all the information I've got on Nemedia from the original Conan books. So hopefully it was informative, hopefully it sparked some ideas. Thanks for listening, talk to you next time. That's it for this week's episode. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Klaatu. You can reach me via email at klaatu@member.fsf.org. You can also usually catch me in IRC as not Klaatu. I'm on the Freenode network. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.